I want to talk to you about Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to exposit only one verse of Scripture. I'm going to give you some Greek words. It'll be very painless. You'll hardly notice that you have been infected with some theology. I just want you to understand the weight of this one Scripture. Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to give you the Larry Titus reversed version, new reverse version. Now I'm going to give you my own translation, and I'm going to give you some of the words the way they are in the Greek so you have an understanding. So this is what it says, to him, not to him, meaning God, to him who is able to do superabundantly, who is able to do superabundantly, exceedingly abundantly, is what King James says, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or believe or imagine, excuse me, according to his power that is at work within you. I want to give you this now as a breakdown. Are you ready for this? Hang tight while I catch a little bit of water here. Now to him, meaning to God, who has the power, who is able, the power is the word dunamis, from which we get our word, who has the dynamite, who has the power to do immeasurably, superabundantly, immeasurably, huper ek parasao, who has the ability to do immeasurably more than you can ask or than you can imagine, according to his power, is dynamite again. So two times in that one verse, the word dynamite is used, dunamis. He has the power, and he gives you the power, but the power in you is only released if you do two things. One is ask, and one is imagine. Tremendous abilities that God gave you to ask. Isn't it interesting that you can ask for anything, and it costs no money? And it amazes me, because whenever we would meet with a board and we were getting ready to start a building project or something, somebody would inevitably say, which they should, how much is it going to cost? Which is not a bad idea to ask that, as Jesus suggested, lest you start building your tower and you don't have enough money to finish. But that's not the first question. The first question is, did we pray about it? Because when you pray about it, it costs no money, zero money, costs absolutely nothing. And if you believe, and that too costs absolutely nothing, you have an ability to ask immeasurably, and you have an ability to think or imagine immeasurably. So if I even use the word immeasurably, that denotes a metron, that denotes a metric. And the metric is this, that my asking and my believing gives to God the measurement of his answer. For instance, if I ask God for $10, that becomes the measure for God to respond with $100. If I ask for anything, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't have to be financial, but that's just to give you an illustration. So if I ask for anything, or if I believe for anything, my asking and my imagination produces the measure to which he responds to. And he always responds to something. I had a young girl in our first church in Washington State, a 17-year-old girl. She had a dream, and she said, Pastor, can I share my dream with you? She said, I had a dream that I went to heaven, and an angel showed me all through heaven. And I came to this one building, and it was massive. And I asked the angel, what's in that building? And the angel said, these are all the things that God wanted to give his people, but they never asked. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Wouldn't that be tragic for me to go to heaven at some point? And God said, I wanted to do so much for you, but you didn't believe I could do it? And you never asked me to do it. So according to the book of Matthew, God is more interested in giving than you are in receiving. I think we have a fear that, well, what if he says no? I think we should have a fear for what happens if I don't ask. I think our fear or our concern should be all the things that God wanted to do, he never did because I never prevailed on his father heart. I never asked him thinking, oh, you probably don't want to do it for me, or maybe you are going to say no, or maybe I'm just not spiritual enough like Thomas or Amity or any of your elders or leaders. And, you know, God just does it for special people, and, you know, who am I? God says, all I want you to do is ask. Do you think if you ask for a fish, I'm going to give you a scorpion? Do you think if you ask for bread, I'm going to give you a stone? How much more? How much more? If you're being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more do I want to give good gifts to those that ask? So to him who has the dunamis, the dynamite, the nitroglycerin, the one who has the dynamite, by the way, dynamite was discovered in the form that we know it now by a man by the name of Alfred Nobel from Sweden. Does that name ring a bell? The one who founded the Peace Prize, invented the method of blowing everybody up. 1867, Alfred Nobel discovered how you can make dynamite using nitroglycerin and stabilizing it, and he invented this that we now know, and he took the Greek word dunamis, power. So God has the power, and I have the power, but what ignites the dynamite is my asking and my imagination. My asking. The Bible is replete with scriptures about ask, just ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. Ask. Luke 11, ask. Luke 17, keep on asking. Keep on asking. Just keep on asking. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. Ask. Whatever you ask, I'm going to give it to you. Say to this mountain and believe in your heart that it will happen. Jesus said, I'll do it. I think it's John chapter 15, verse number 7 says, if you abide in me, which means remain, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for anything that you want to and I'll give it to you. So rather than say, well, I just didn't want to bother God, I do. I want to bother God. Frankly, I do. I'm unwilling to live my life with not seeing the incredible provision of God. Why should I ask small when it costs no money to ask big? Why should I think small when it costs no more to think big? And then we cancel things out so often, for instance, in marriage. The wife will say, honey, I need something. And the husband will say, in response, well, we just can't afford it. What a great way to kill somebody's dreams and vision. Or other excuses can be made. Well, what do you expect? I worked another 50 years. Do you know what? Faith says, well, let's start saving for it. In our early marriage, I canceled out so many of my wife's dreams, so many of her visions by negative things. And all I needed to do was say, let's start. Let's work on it. We may not have it now, but we can start saving. And whenever you begin to move and operate in faith, faith expands to the point of explosion. So the first requirement is ask, 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 ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Ask. Jesus said ask. Just continually ask. I see people walk down the street and I ask for their salvation. I see people on TV and I ask for their salvation. We had a strange incident yesterday where a young man incapacitated through drugs as we were checking into the motel was trying to take the pastor's truck. Amity arrives. This is my husband's truck. You get out of it. Amity to the rescue. The amazing thing is, I have no idea why I just told you about that story. I need my brain to activate right now. The imagination, pardon me? That's not helping one bit. No. Where's your discernment? That's what I want to know. It'll come back to me. So I ask. No, it's not the keys. That's not what I'm asking for. I ask because God said to ask. Oh, I know what it was, is that this morning I was praying for him. God, I want to see that young man say, because drugs are destroying. He is so hurt. He's intoxicating himself from his injury. And I met him when I was coming into the hotel. He was coming out, and we literally stared at each other, and I felt the evil. But there is something so evil about drugs, because it destroys a person's ability to make decisions on their own. And he's making a decision he would not have made otherwise. And I prayed for his salvation. God, turn him around. He doesn't need anybody else but you. He doesn't need another drug. He doesn't need any more alcohol. He needs you. Because if he has you, he will have everything and life in abundance. I was asking for his salvation. Why don't we? Why don't we ask for God to send a mighty revival on campus at the university? Why don't we pray that God give us 10,000 more people here in this church? It was as easy for me to say another 1,000 as it is to say another 10,000, and it's my measure that determines God's response. So if I have this little container here, which on the CD, people will not know me holding up, but it's a little communion cup. If I hold this little container there, and that's my prayer, then God responds to my prayer to the degree. But God can never answer anything to the degree that I prayed, because God is God. So my answer comes back in the form of this 16-ounce bottle of water. So I pray the size of the communion cup, and my answer is in this bottle of water. Now, what if I began my prayer the size of the bottle of water? Pastor, that's your cue. What if my prayer starts with the size of the bottle of this water, and then my answer comes back in this 13-gallon container? God says, whatever you asked for, I will give you huper, ek, parasu, parasau. Do you know what that means? Huper always means over. Ek means out of. So God says, I'm going to take your request and turn it into an over and an out of until it releases a flow of the supernatural. Another word, for instance, comes out of John chapter number 10. The devil, your enemy, comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come to give you life, ek parasu. Ek parasu. I have come to give you. By the way, may I share this right now? Does anybody mind if I share this right now? Why do we live such a low level of existence when God has called you to have a ball? Do you believe it's more spiritual to have no fun? Do you believe it is more spiritual to be poor? Do you believe it is more spiritual to barely exist when God says, I want you to have life in abundance? God said, I want you to have so much life, you cannot contain rivers of living water flowing out of you. Okay. I'm trying. I'm old. We used to sing a chorus years ago. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. It really sounded spiritual. My mother said, I'm not going to sing that chorus. She said, why would I want God to fill my cup when he's given me rivers? Why do we order hamburger when God's given us steaks? God says, you're the one that ordered the hamburger, not me. Well, we're just a poor family, and you'll always be poor if you think that you are your source of provision. But if you understand that God says you give and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together where you can contain more, and running over, will men give into your bosom or your lap? How many know that all of you right now, because you're seated in front of me, all of you have laps? But if you're to stand up, you lose your lap. How many know you have no lap as soon as you stand? God said, I want you to stay seated because I want to pour into your lap, which means you didn't do it, it was me. According to your asking and your believing, I'm going to do huper ek parasu because I'm God. I'm not just going to bless you a little bit. I'm going to bless you till you can't contain it, you can't stand it, and something inside us even cringes and saying, no, I'm not worthy. Well, get over it. Of course you're not worthy. People always come to me and say, well, I just don't feel worthy. I said, well, you're not. How many know they searched all over heaven for somebody worthy? They searched all over earth for somebody worthy. They went under the earth, couldn't find anybody worthy till they found one person. He's worthy, and it wasn't you. But he is worthy to receive all of the glory, and he passes it into you with huper ek parasu. Huper. Super abundantly. But what if your prayers start with this? Then, Pastor Eli, your cue. Then here's your answer. Now, go back and get ready to bring the spa in. So we have 33 gallons right here. But what if your prayer started with 33 gallons, then we bring the swimming pool in? But what if your prayer started with the swimming pool, then we can bring the Atlantic Ocean in? It is not God who determines your metron. It is you who determine the metron. And you are the one that says, I want to pray big because I got a big God. Don't pray according to your budget or you will have nothing. Pray according to God's ability. God's ability is so massive. So massive. And the ability to believe, to imagine things. Somebody imagined everything that you see right now. Somebody imagined electrical current. Somebody imagined incandescent light bulbs. Now somebody imagined LED light bulbs. Somebody imagined microphones and keyboards that were electronic. Somebody imagined the chairs that you're sitting in. Somebody imagined this building. Somebody had a vision and saw things that did not exist. And they began to speak things that did not exist until it did. Because the universe has been created by things that you do not see. And with your words, you begin to pray those. And with your imagination, you see things that don't exist. Isn't it amazing that I can sit here right now and imagine things that go to the very extent of the universe itself? I could imagine things that are so massive, and I don't even leave my seat. Talk about virtual reality. It starts in your imagination, and God has given you an ability to believe for things. When I was 10 years of age, I was dying of incurable kidney disease. They had no kidney transplants back then, and there was no cure, and the doctor told my parents he would die. In Fresno, California, it gets very, very hot, so they built a screened-in porch for me because they had no air conditioning then. Screened-in porch, and I was there so that the cool night air could at least cool me down because my fever was so intense. Day after day, week after week, month after month, it burned the skin off my face. They said, the doctor said, there's no hope. I was 10 years of age dying. What about the vision to preach the gospel in all of the world that I had when I was 5 years of age? It would never come to pass. No hope. I couldn't keep anything down. Could not eat anything. Not even liquids would stay down. I told my parents, there's a preacher coming to town who prays for people. If you'll take me, I'll be healed. I said to them, will you promise me that after he lays his hands on me and I'm healed, because I already saw it in my mind, I said, would you promise me that on the way home you will stop, that I can get a hamburger and I can get a Coke? Very healthy. See, the miracle for me was that I couldn't keep anything down. And to me, I couldn't think of anything better than to have a hamburger and a Coke. They promised me. I couldn't stand up. They had the healing line. I couldn't stand up. They brought a chair for me to sit in because there was no way. So they brought this little, like a lawn chair, and I sat there until the preacher was finished praying for everybody when he laid hands on me. In one split second of time, I had a new kidney. And you can tell I've kept things down fairly well. Kansas barbecue included. Because God, in his sovereign grace, allows a little kid that's 10 years of age to imagine. There was a little boy at the turn of the last century, not this century, the previous century, early 1900s, went to a one-room schoolhouse in the state of Missouri. And his teacher asked all the students, because all the grades are combined, all the students, take out your papers and draw pictures of flowers. And he did. And she was walking up and down the aisle looking at all the pictures of the flowers. And she got to his picture and said, "What's that?" He said, "Flowers." She said, "But they have faces." "Flowers, silly, don't have faces." He said, "Mine do." The little boy's name was Walt Disney. So I want to ask you, who is silly? The teacher or the boy? That he could see things that didn't exist. He never remembered her name again. He never mentioned her name again because he believed and she tried to destroy his belief. He was a dreamer like Joseph's brothers. At the age of 17, already believed that he would be ruling the nation. 17 years of age. You know what? When your answer comes back, it will never look like what you prayed. Isaiah 55, but when your answer comes back, it will look like God who gives in superabundance. Whatever you prayed. Whatever you prayed. I'm going to give you one illustration as I close. 1981, as you know, some of these precious people right here in this church were part of my second pastor, which was in Amarillo, Texas. We arrived in Amarillo, Texas in the month of March. When it was coming around to the fall of the year, I went into my prayer closet, which was actually a closet, a walk-in closet, and I would sit on the floor, and that was my prayer closet, a real closet, and I'd sit on the floor and pray. Nobody heard me. It was just me and God. So the Bible says you're to pray in secret so that the God who hears in secret can answer you openly. So I would pray. Now, my boy at that time, let's see, we left. He was probably fourth or fifth grade, and we had left the Northwest, where I like to take him to any professional game, any sports teams like the Seahawks or whatever, wherever we live, take them to a professional sporting event. So I decided on Thanksgiving Day I would like to take him to see the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I think that you're well aware that in those days in particular, the Dallas Cowboys were the most important team in the nation and were called America's team. Now, whether you agree with that or not, it doesn't matter to me. My point was that we live now in Texas, and I want my boy to see a professional football game. The other thing that you need to know is you might as well not have a ticket office open at Texas Stadium, because you could not buy tickets at the ticket office. They were sold out continually. The stadium at that point seated a little over 40,000. So I went. I prayed that in September. I prayed that in October. And I talked very conversationally to God. I said, "You know, Lord, if you want to arrange this, I would really love for you to arrange this for my boy to get in to see a Dallas Cowboys game. But, you know, if you don't do it, it's okay. I'm not going to backslide, but I'd like you to arrange that we can get in and see a Dallas Cowboys game." So I prayed in September. October, again, I prayed. It's coming up in November, so I want to go to Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. It's about a six-hour drive from Amarillo to Dallas. I want to go on Thanksgiving Day. I have always been crazy to believe things that are completely out of reach, that are impossibilities. In October, a man in our church who owned a Christian bookstore called my wife up and said, "We have an author that's coming into town, And we're going to have an autograph party, and she'll be signing books, and we're going to be serving coffee and cookies. Will you come down and host this event? My wife said, sure, be happy to. And my wife's vivacious, gregarious personality could sell snow to an Eskimo. So she came down there and helped them out. And at noon, she calls me, honey, will you come pick me up for lunch? So I said, sure, I'll be down there. Walked in, the lady signing books directly in front of me at the table, signing the books. And my wife said, I would like you to meet my husband. And I met the lady, and the lady said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor of a church. She said, do you know anything about the book of Job? I said, yes. I said, I actually have memorized quite a bit of the book of Job, and I'd be happy to teach you. So we went behind the counter for the next 20 minutes. I taught her on the book of Job. She said, because the Lord spoke to me and said, my answer to my prayer is in the book of Job. When she got through, she said, are you going to be in Dallas anytime soon? I said, we'll be there on Thanksgiving Day. She said, on Thanksgiving Day, would you be our guest to a Dallas Cowboys game on Thanksgiving Day? I said, well, I don't know. We're kind of busy, but, you know. The lady who was signing the book was the owner's wife of the Dallas Cowboys. So Ann Merkison, the wife of Clint Merkison, the franchise owner of the Dallas Cowboys, who sold it for a measly $80 million, and it's in the billions now, $80 million, they said, would you pick us up at our home and take us to Texas Stadium and then have Thanksgiving dinner with us? So I go to their home, they get in our car, we drive them to Texas Stadium, drive past the rest of the zoo, drive under the Texas Stadium, get in his private elevator, go to his private suite. And we're sitting there, Ann and Debbie are talking, Clint Merkison, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and half of the people running around on the field and builder of the stadium, and rocking chairs, drinking our Cokes and our popcorn with my son sitting next to me. And I'm saying, Father God, I want to say thank you. I ask you if I could get in to a Dallas Cowboys game. I'm sitting next to the owner. Soon to go to his house for Thanksgiving dinner. Talking about Jesus. Talking about what God was doing in their lives. And my son is sitting next to me. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? God, of course, can say no. But I think he probably will say yes. And then he will supersize it. So you want a small? I'm going to give you a supersize. I'm going to do super abundantly, more than you can ask or imagine, according to my power that works inside you. Lord Jesus, I pray prophetically for this church that it will be too small to contain the people. I pray for this city that will experience revival. I pray for the salvation of this campus and revival. I pray for the Spirit of the Lord to start fires burning in the city that will reach all of this state. I pray that God bless you until he embarrasses you. I pray, God, save all of your relatives. I pray that God move through your neighborhood. I pray that God bless your business. I pray that God bless you in every way. And I pray that you learn to pray big and believe big. Imagine things that do not exist. Jesus, I ask you. We're going to stand. We're going to stand this morning, and we're going to practice what I just preached. Have you been imagining things as I've been preaching? Let me see your hands. Have you been imagining things? Let me see your hands. Hold them up there. I've been imagining things that are bigger. Maybe bigger than what I prayed. Maybe bigger than what I've imagined in the past. I've been praying for these things. Or maybe I'm going to start praying for these things right now. I was in Washington State, and I went into a restaurant one night. I do crazy things. There were three chefs behind the grill, and now this restaurant was 30 miles from where I lived. And I saw a chef there, and I said, "Jesus, I claim his soul for you." Nobody heard my prayer. 2 weeks later, on a Sunday night, actually 2 weeks and one day, I give an invitation at our church, and this chef walks down the aisle, 30 miles away from where I saw him. 2 weeks later, he came to the front, and I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Russ Wills." And I said, "Russ, would you like to get saved?" And he said, "I think I did." I said, "When?" He said, "Oh, about 2 weeks ago." He said, "It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow." He said, "I was in a college class," and he said, "One of the young guys had just gotten out of the Marines, and it was a speech class, and he gave his speech on how he got saved. And he said, I complimented on his speech after class, and he told me how to get saved." He said, "I got him in a pickup, headed home." He said, "I think I got saved." I said, "Can you tell me who the young man was that gave the speech?" "It was a college student who lived in my home. 2 days from the day of my prayer, and he became part of our staff. 2 days from the time of my prayer, he was saved, led to the Lord by a person who lives in my house. Came to our church 30 miles from where I saw him and said, 'Jesus, I claim his soul.'" I was praying for Britney Spears one time. "Lord Jesus, move in her life." I was speaking at the Great Western Forum in Los Angeles, and sitting in the second row was Britney Spears and her mother and the bodyguard. What if God wants to say yes and you've already deduced he will say no? What if God has already said yes to your dreams? Maybe they've fallen into the ground. Well, I've got good news. Whenever they fall into the ground and die, they bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. Those dreams you laid aside, maybe God gave you those dreams. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Let's pray big. We're going to have Fernando play loud so it'll cover up. So if you're embarrassed to pray, he'll cover up your prayer and you won't be embarrassed. But I want you to pray with a fervency that, "Jesus, I'm asking you for big things. I need a better job. I need whatever it is." He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He doesn't say, "Oh, that's materialistic. Shame on you." God said, "I'm more interested in giving than you are even asking me." That I pray big prayers. That I pray for this church. I pray big prayers for this church. In Jesus' name, let's start praying. Come on, raise your voices and raise your hands to heaven and say, "Jesus, I ask you right now for the impossible. I ask you for big things right now, Jesus. I ask you for things that are bigger than me. I ask you, Jesus, for things that are supernatural, and I cannot do them without you. Jesus, I ask you for the impossible. I ask you, Jesus, I ask you, Jesus, I ask you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, for things that are so big. I want to see you accomplish in my life, Jesus, things that are big. I ask you, Jesus, I ask you, Jesus, I ask you, Jesus. Help me to lift up my head, my vision. Lord Jesus, help me to see as big as you see. Help me to see how big you are, God, and that right now you hear my prayers. And I pray, Jesus, sovereignly, that you would hear my prayers. Right now, Jesus, move. Move in the businesses, move in the homes, move in the jobs, move in the dreams, move in the families, move in this church, God. I declare revival in this church, God, to sweep through this city. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare a massive vision for this church. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on now. I want you to say as loud as you can, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I declare it. In Jesus' name, I declare it. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Hallelujah. 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 God's going to use you. God's going to use you, brother. God's going to use your sister to do incredible things for Jesus. And everybody said amen. I said you're going to do incredible things for Jesus. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Now we're getting ready to celebrate. We're getting ready to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. I want people who you're not inhibited. You don't care. If you just praise God, just dance before God, just jump up and down before God. It doesn't matter. I just want you to come to the front. We have one more chorus before we go. And this chorus is about God doing the impossible. So come on here. Let's celebrate. If you like to just come on, get out here and be a fool for Jesus. We already knew you were. So come on out here. We're going to celebrate in a chorus. Hallelujah. Young people, come up here. You're the best crazy people I know. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. Hallelujah. This guy here in the third row with the black shirt and the white on the front of it, the Lord is so heavy on your life, buddy. Just come here. I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you. Is this your wife beside you? Can you come too, please? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I felt the Holy Spirit on you when I walked in today. Just come here so I can touch you. What's your name? In Jesus' name, God, I pray, ruin them. That they get so full of your Holy Spirit, they can't even contain it. God, I pray your anointing flow through them, God. You've given them influence. You've given them such a Holy Spirit anointing. I pray, Jesus, saturate them with your Spirit. I pray that you reveal yourself so strong in them. I pray everywhere they go that Jesus is going to be revealed. Sovereign God, move through them with the power of your Holy Spirit. I release, God, you've already smeared them with that oil of anointing. I release it in the name of Jesus right now. I release the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to pray for them, but I want you to pray for everybody around you. Jesus, release the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just put your hands on somebody. Release the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Release the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.